A view of journeys unending. Mike DeGang, from the website allmusic.com, contends that Don't Stop Believin', the 1981 soft rock anthem that deftly underpins View from the Top's opening scenes, contains one of the best opening keyboard riffs in rock. I would argue for Van Halen's Jump, and in fact have with Mike DeGang himself. The exchange ended with me calling DeGang a farm boy, a reference made solely in relation to the genealogy of his name. Gagner is an old French word meaning to till or cultivate, and therefore it's very likely his ancestors were agricultural workers. I presume DeGang would know this, but I now accept that the nomenclature could be regarded as derogative. And after a period of intense pressure from some aggressively vocal farming lobbies, I reluctantly deleted the tweet. Just a note on Don't Stop Believin'. In 2009, Don't Stop Believin' became the top-selling track in iTunes history among songs not released in the 21st century after featuring in Glee, a show that would feature Gwyneth Paltrow in a move that I always read as an intertextual reference to Top. The version of Don't Stop Believin' on Top soundtrack is not the Journey original, but a new, sensitive, cost-effective rendition by John Coa from the band Escape, one of the leading Journey cover bands currently active. This from their website. Like Journey, Escape features five of California's top-tier rock musicians. All the players have endorsement deals with major musical gear companies, including Pro Tools, Bognar Amps, and Paul Reed Smith Guitars. And several Escape members have endorsements and or beta tests with cutting-edge amp/effect manufacturer Line 6. More than one of Escape's players has played with Keith Emerson, Toto members such as Bobby Kimball, David Paik, Kelly Hansen, Foreigner lead singer, Howard Leese, Heart, Bad Company, Glenn Hughes of Deep Purple fame, 70s hitmakers Hamilton, Joe Frankenreynolds, Stuart Smith, and Joe Retter of Sweet, former AT drummers Chris Slade and Simon Wright, three different American Idol finalists, and even former members of Journey. There is no other tribute to Journey that has the musicianship and experience and the ability to play and sing every note with all the subtle nuances of the original, like Escape. Although DeGang praises Steve Perry's expansive range on the original recording, he feels that the vocals verge on overpowering. So perhaps it's just as well that the version used in the film employs the thinner, reedier, ultimately weaker voice of Coa. But while DeGang praises the enticing and cutting guitar work of Neil Schon in his review, he also makes a reference to what he terms the band's adolescent adventurism, a term so casually condescending that it makes me wonder whether anyone even cares about quality online rock writing anymore. Founded by ex-members of psych rock pioneers Santana and Frumious Bandersnatch, Journey released three albums, Journey, Look Into the Future, and Next, before recruiting singer Steve Perry in 1977, a move which displayed both humility and maturity. Here was a band who had the courage to say, not one of us can cut it vocally. We're down a rhythm guitarist, George Tickner, and we know that, our musical prowess notwithstanding, the most communicative instrument in rock is the human voice. So let's embrace Perry's pipes and be our best selves. This is a decision made by adults. Adults who, as a result of accepting that they couldn't just smoke herb, play 20-minute guitar solos and hope to make a dollar, came to dominate the stadium rock scene in the 80s, standing shoulder to shoulder with the likes of Foreigner and Europe. This was a band who didn't stop believing in themselves. Is it any wonder that they would write such an enduring anthem? And by using the song so prominently, View from the Top seems to be asking us, albeit non-diegetically and in rock form, to bear with it. Forget the film's poster, where no one's head seems to belong to their bodies. Forget the casting of Paltrow as a blue-collar Midwesterner. Forget the suspiciously clipped running time, 87 minutes including bloopers, followed by both an unmotivated dance sequence and a drawn-out credit crawl. If we all just decide to believe, we can make it through. It's this groundless belief that we should, as it were, keep watching that makes the experience of Top so touching. Complicity is created, binding the filmmakers to us, its limited audience. There are, of course, times when one might be wise to stop believing. Why, for example, didn't we stop believing in infinite economic growth pre-2007? In early 2008, I had to accept that I could no longer keep up the payment on my Southeast London garage share. It became apparent that 17 people couldn't effectively co-own a garage. And even though none of us could afford a car, meaning that we might have been able to use it for limited storage, once we broke the garage down into zones based on our individual contribution to the sale price, no one could enter the tiny space without triggering a complex border dispute. Legal fees swallowed up our investments, and some frankly vile accusations were made both in person and online. Before we knew it, some middle-class squatters had repurposed the property and turned it into a falafel nook. But those times, times of doubt, disorientation, and white rage, are not within Don't Stop Believin's mandate. Don't Stop Believin' is perhaps the most potent paean to credulity in rock. Indeed, the only thing Don't Stop Believin' asks of us is to persist with our current belief. As regards what we should believe, the song is silent. Journey don't care who we are. We could be Satanists as long as we're consistent. How long should we keep believing? If you think Journey are going to be prescriptive about that, you don't know Journey. But the question remains, do we maintain our belief for the duration of the song or until we lose brain function? If the former, the call to arms seems a little self-serving, as if the time for believing is tethered to the track, highly convenient for a stadium rock act with its inevitably fascistic focus. Let us note that the premier pop phenomenon of recent memory was called One Direction. If the latter, the song can start to feel like a straitjacket, a manifesto for absolutism. And while Journey are many things, they're not absolutists. In fact, the song is as exhaustingly relativist as it is impractical. In this regard, the song's credo reminds me of Kenny Loggins' Meet Me Halfway. As well as containing what must be some of the slowest drum fills in pop rock history, the song announces itself as an appeal for compromise and mediation, two notions sadly absent in much of rock, before Loggins makes the entirely unreasonable, not to say logistically challenging, suggestion that his lover meet him halfway across the sky. It's a verse that displays such a worrying ignorance of the limitations imposed by international airspace that you start to doubt whether Loggins is in earnest about meeting up at all, or whether he resides in a kind of esoteric dream world, something that would be maddening for any partner, especially one committed to building a life in common. And yet, unlike the band Journey or the man Kenny Loggins, View from the Top knows that beliefs change. Perhaps that's what makes the difference between an enduring work of cinema and soft rock. Donna Jensen's Journey will see her core assumptions challenged and her endurance pushed to the limit, again mirroring our journey as viewers. In fact, Jensen's Journey starts with her believing in a world in the sky that can belong just to her and not you and I. But this big-haired Icarus will modify her beliefs. As she grows, she will come to realize you can fly only so high. And if life is a lock, the key is moderation. Addendum. The DVD extras to Top, the wonderfully titled first-class features. It's good to see that the creativity that burst forth in the making of the film continued into the home release. Include a short piece about the music used in the film, presented by Randy Spendlove. The only reason I believe this is his real name is that he doesn't look like he'd be able to think it up. Spendlove says View from the Top is about chasing your dreams, but I disagree. I think the film is about coming to realize that the dream that helps you be your best self is already in the center of your own heart, if only you dare to believe, i.e. no chase required. But how do you find the center of your own heart? Don't stop reading or listening. I know it's an audiobook.